Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Rhubarb Elrod Joshua Brown.
How y'all doing? Glad to be here.
There he is. All right, and that is JT Big Dog Mighty Man Holton.
What?
I don't know. I don't know. Welcome back, fellas. Last week,
it's not my name.
I'm just glad JT's back with us. Last week we had some technical difficulties, and so I'm glad JT is able to be with us this week.
Same.
And
huge fan.
Huge fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the show is so much more relaxed and funny when JT's in on the conversation. It's not just Ken and Josh saying stupid crap.
Rat.
Just saying.
Rat. I don't know. I'm glad I bring something to the table. If you guys have a nice table, then I'm glad I bring something to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like you're kind of like you're like the Tim Allen to our podcast.
I feel like JT just woke up. Did you just wake up, JT? Were you napping?
No, I didn't. I took a big nap today. I'm in my sweats.
Okay, that was sexy.
Yeah, was it? Yeah, that may be. I'm extra comfy when I wear these. Okay, so you know, there's like designer sweatpants.
Okay, I do.
So yeah. So yeah. These sweatpants are. I have a second pair, and I lost them. I had a navy pair, and I don't know where they went. But these are from the Gap, and they're originally like $45, which is insane. But I found them on clearance, and they're like markdown clearance. So I pay like $8 for them. Oh my gosh, man! Like the best, like. Invest in sweatpants. Like, you buy a fancy pair of sweatpants,
really?
And you will love them. Yeah.
Huh.
I figured you're kind of a Lululemon guy.
Like, I wish.
I've got some similar. I've got some really nice New Balance pants. Kind of like those, but not as loose. Similar situation. Found them at TJ Maxx. They might have been $10. But they were regular. You know, around what yours were.
These
probably.
Are the kind of sweatpants that like Kanye West will wear out in public as like actual pants. Like the type, you know, they're not like extra baggy. Like they're slim fit, but they're just comfy. It's nice. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's so hot. Nice. Does it make your butt?
No, not really. I don't have a butt.
Okay.
You can only work with so much, right? I mean, it can only do what you know. Just look at the women of Walmart. You know, it can all jeggings and tight pants can only go so far.
That's true.
Unless you're on Instagram or Twitter, at which point, it doesn't matter how ugly you are, you can find a way to take a picture that some dude will thirst over. Just saying. Mm-hmm. I've decided that we need to up our Twitter game, fellas. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter really up in their game lately, and I think for us to be better on Twitter, Josh is going to have to go with me and Josh going with the crop top shirts that stop just under the boob to show off the old belly.
Yeah,
And JT, I think you're going to have to go with like low V-necks to get a little man cleavage in there. And maybe a little plumber's crack on the backside. You know, you just get the right angle so you got a little bit of plumber's crack
maybe
showing
like,
when you take your pictures.
Morning tweets, like good morning, say it back. Kind of selfie.
There you go. There you go. Right. Like like making people feel like they're bad people if they don't say hey back or something, you know? And and then guys, I'm a terrible person. I'm a terrible person. Because I'm the person that when the jerk on Twitter points out that you're not as hot as your Twitter picture, I think the jerk's hilarious. I'm a terrible I'm a terrible person. like they're totally a jerk. I'm not denying that they're a jerk, but it's absolutely hilarious to watch 200 people come unglued on some jerk
I
that
totally
just kind of, you know,
totally
pointed
agree.
Out that you're not as hot as your Instagram picture makes you look, you know? I don't know. I'm a terrible
Isn't that
person.
The point of the picture, though? Like, you're not going to put your worst picture on there. You're going to put one that you like the way you look, which is probably better than the way you look on a normal day.
Yeah. It's just funny when, like, the jerk points out that your picture's not as hot
just
as you
like,
think
well,
it is.
Of course.
Like, you know.
Like, yeah.
That's why it's a picture.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why. And what's really funny is to watch Twitter people, like, lose their minds insulting the jerk while the jerk sits on the side and just laughs his butt off because you know he knew he was going to get dragged when he said it, that he thought that was the hilarious part of it. And so then 200 people give him all the validity he ever wanted in life, you know, by adding him. It's like watching 3-year Letterman troll someone and like 200 people get mad because some check mark is yelling at three-year Letterman and then like they're not in on the joke. They don't realize the person that made the insult knew they were being dumb to begin with, and that was the joke. And so you get 200 people who look kind of dumb. I'm just saying. Also, JT, you're going to have to dye your beard pink. I'm just saying, for us to do better on Twitter. It's just the way it is. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's the way it is.
I just had my beard done this week, and it feels fantastic. I've gotten into the beard oil.
Me too.
Both of
you. You have to, man.
Both of y'all.
I'm in the cream. Yeah. I use cream after
y'all
shower.
Y'all cannot.
And I use a little beard oil.
I don't
a couple
ever
want
to hear shit from both of you making fun of me for being a hipster. Okay, you motherfuckers are talking about beard oil, and I'm the hipster. I don't want it.
What's wrong with?
I don't want to hear.
What's
it.
Wrong with beard oil? Would you rather me rub? Like, I don't want to hear it. Chain oil, bar and chain oil in my beard.
Y'all can never make fun of me ever again for being.
It smells fantastic. No, and the good thing about your beard is you smell it because it's right under your nose. So you smell it like all day, and then you I smell good.
See, I do the unscented. I just go for a little softness, so it's not.
Oh, I mean, I don't know what the smell is. It's just the smell of beard oil. It smells clean.
My beard gets scraggly if I don't use just a little bit. I get like dry, weird looking ends on it. So I keep a little beard oil in it.
My brother-in-law, we were on vacation. He bought some Buffalo Trace, has their own beard oil. It smells great. And I was like, oh, you smell so good. I mean, I'm not being gay here, but you smell delicious. And so it just smells like Buffalo Trace bourbon.
It's like a whole new line of like man care.
Yeah,
products.
That's a whole
like,
new thing now.
I see these commercials for like Sasquatch shampoo or something. I don't know. Mansquatch. Yeah. I don't know what it's called. It's something like that. And then there's one that's like hockey puck that you like rub in your head and it's supposed to make more lather. And I'm like, why do I care? Like,
there's a whole men's hygiene is a whole new thing now.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh, I mean, even if I were, what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Just saying.
Nothing.
Just say it.
I mean, I would be fine with it.
Sure you would. Anyway, fellas, baseball. The owners have made a proposal, counter offer, round three.
You're gonna need to regurgitate the proposal because I have not read it.
Yeah. I will try my best. I don't know all of it because details have leaked a little bit at a time, kind of thing. You know, like nobody just comes out and says, "Here's what we're offering." Mm-hmm. But the gist of it is this: the owners, because players rejected their first proposal, the owners have squashed that and all that revenue sharing crap that they talked about the first time. They took all that out. And instead, they said what they would do would be a sliding scale payment to players. Mm-hmm. And so the sliding scale would be, for example, Justin Verlander.
Can he live off that?
Know, $30 million this year? I don't know what he was supposed to get. Yeah. Instead of him getting that, though, he would get like 20 to 30% of that. Whereas players closer to, minimum MLB wage, which is like $550,000 a year. Even if you divide that in half, it's like $275,000 a year. would not be taking near the cut that big contract players do. I'm not exactly sure where that scales at because, like, all the details didn't leak. It was just enough to kind of get a gauge on what they were offering. Apparently, players are still very unhappy with this. But at this point, I think players are backed into a corner to where either they're going to strike and ruin the game of baseball. Because if they strike and refuse to play, I think fans are going to say, screw you. You know, I really think that's where fans are at. Or players are just going to have to succumb because to the owners' demands. Because owners have played this thing beautifully. They've taken front office cuts of the exact amounts they're asking players to take. They furloughed front office people. Mm-hmm. People like the Athletics are talking about they're going to have to let go and temporary layoffs, at least temporary, maybe permanent layoffs, of scouting department staff. They've shrunk the draft down to 5 rounds. And you can morally say all this stuff is greedy owners, and you might be 100% right. Like, I'm not saying this is not a defense of the owners. This is saying the owners played this thing perfectly. They laid the battlefield where they want it. They bind the battlefield the way they wanted it. And players took the bait hook, line, and sinker. Because I actually think players might have made more money off the revenue sharing program than what the owners are offering now. If I come right down to it, with as thirsty as fans are for baseball, I truly believe players might have made more money off the revenue sharing than what they're being offered now. It's kind of crazy. But for us, the average guys, we've talked about this, so I'm not going to belabor this point and beat a dead horse, but we've talked about this. For average Joe that's out of a job, you're being offered millions of dollars to play baseball. I don't care why you're saying no. I don't care if it's right or wrong or indifferent as far as, like, owners being greedy or whatnot. They're offering you millions of dollars to play baseball. An average guy doesn't have a job. The players can't win anymore because they've already backed themselves in the corner making statements like, I got to get mine and I'm going to have mine and – you know, I'm going to get paid and all those kinds of things. And it's kind of a sad day, but I really think players are going to lose this.
It is. And I've kind of talked about this before, but I don't know a nicer way to put this, but baseball executives are more intelligent than players and even their agents for the most part. Some agents are super savvy, obviously. I mean, Scott Boras is not an idiot. I don't like Scott Boras, but he's a very smart guy. But a lot of agents and a lot of players, they're not operating with the same elevator as a lot of these owners and executives are. They're just not. And so
they're dumb jocks.
And this is
no offense, but that's all they've ever been.
This is a case in point, in my opinion. They've come to the table with what I think is a very reason. They're bleeding themselves. They're losing a shit ton. And if you deny that, you're just an idiot at this point. There's no baseball, so they're not selling any tickets. The Baltimore Orioles I read are in a similar situation. Ken, they've laid off people. They're talking about gutting a lot of their scouting department as well. So they're bleeding too. You know, it's not just the Blake Snells of the world that you had to Google for the first time 2 weeks ago because you've never heard of Blake Snell.
And even if they don't need to, they've created the PR image that they are. You know, like even if they could have paid all these people and they've got the money to do it and all those kinds of things, they've won the battlefield because they've done this part. And you know, like they've done the nasty.
It's not just guys like me and you that are saying these things because I wrote that article and I wrote it. I wrote it with a little bit of, like, you know, some fire in my belly. I was kind of pissed off, and I, like, you know, a little bit of a rant. Yeah, okay. And said some.
I think I deleted 30 cuss words when I edited it because you were a little upset.
Well, when I wrote it, and then I talked to our buddy Matt Marksberry, he had a pretty, very different point of view on it. And then I got not from him. He didn't throw shade at my article, but from other people that I respect, people kind of disagree with it. And I kind of second-guessed myself a little bit. I was like, well, maybe they got a point. And then the next day, Chipper Jones basically said what I said without cuss words.
And Tom Glavine. Yeah. A player's player union guy. I mean, like, hardcore union guy.
National League union rep. Yeah.
Player's union guy, you know? So it's not – so I don't – and I say we because, like, I kind of I mirrored a lot of that article on what we talk about and everything. And I felt like it was not that my articles are a replication of our voice as a podcast all the time, obviously, but I think that one a little bit was, because we kind of were on the same page. And so I felt like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have posted that. And then, like, Chipper Jones. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah. And go ahead, JT. You like your
well, brother. What I was going to say is, I think baseball players need to remember how it's different now than it was in 1994. In 1994, if you said, oh, I'm going to be done with baseball, there was so much that you had to change about who you are. Because usually, if you like baseball in 1994, is because of, you know, where you lived. If your baseball team was good, if you had a sports talk radio station in your area, that's what was talked about. Usually, it's because, you know, most part other people in your family like baseball. You grew up liking baseball, and that's kind of just how it was. And so,
it was also like right. America's game.
And so the people said, like, "Oh, I'm not going to give baseball my money anymore because of the strike." Well, it was awfully hard for them to actually do that in practice, because baseball was, for the most part, pretty much all they knew. Nowadays, it's just a matter of flipping your attention somewhere else. If I say I'm done with the Braves and I'm not going to watch baseball anymore because I don't want to deal with these players, it's easy for me to be like, the attention I'm giving the Braves, I can easily switch it to the Atlanta Hawks. I can cancel that podcast subscription to a Braves podcast and just subscribe to a Hawks podcast. And I can look, instead of reading a Braves blog, Talking Chop, I can read Peachtree Hoops, which is the SB Nation Hawks blog. And I can stop buying jerseys for Braves players and go buy Hawks players jerseys. Instead, it's so easy to be able to, you have so many avenues to take in sports. Even if it's not a team in your area, you can be like, hey, and I'm going to start watching more NBA instead of baseball. And for $20 a month, I can get the NBA package and watch every single basketball game there is possible. It's so easy now to lose fans.
And look, now you're not even
– it could be anybody.
And now it's not even that they'll just go to the Hawks. It's now they may go to watching Twitch or esports or YouTube or – there's a lot of other voices. Politics has now become as big.
So the energy that I'm giving
to
Braves or baseball, I can replace that with something else so easily. And I think they need to be wary of that, because it's not hard to do. Like, you could, like, look, 6 months ago, I didn't care about hockey. Now I love hockey now. It's awesome.
People are already doing it.
Yeah.
People, to JT's point, people have already been doing it pre-coronavirus. Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk about it on the podcast for the past 3 years about how MLB is just losing kids in general. We talk about African-American kids a lot and how they're bad at reaching those kids, for sure. But, like, just in general, just 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 8-year-olds, and just in general, to Jason's point, they're already having a hard time with those kids. And a lot of it's their own dumbass decisions, like blackout. Why are you going to blackout the If you live in Toronto, you can't watch a Blue Jays
you
game?
Can't, I was about to say, if you live in Canada, you can't see the one Canadian team.
What?
If you live in Atlanta, you can't watch the Braves.
Right.
I mean,
it doesn't make
even
sense.
And there's so many other avenues to take in other sports teams. If I woke up tomorrow and said, I'm going to start being a Lakers fan by the end of the week, I could be as big of a Lakers fan as I wanted to be. I could have jerseys shipped to my house overnight. I can subscribe to the NBA package and watch every Lakers game I wanted to. I could have posters on my wall like this. You know, it doesn't have to be something that you're born with anymore.
I do it every week, guys.
Josh switches allegiances six times a year. So you have so much competition for your dollar that it used to be, well, you were just a baseball fan and you could say what you want. But the bottom line is, you're probably going to come back to baseball because that's just, you know, how your life is. Nowadays, you can get it from wherever.
I don't know if we'll – yeah. I don't know if we'll get into all this on today's episode, but we will this week. But one thing that this quarantine is going to do significantly is, I think it's going to really shake up people's consumer habits. So, like, if you've been a hardcore baseball fan for your entire life, and then you go half a season without it, and you kind of figure out this new normal where I don't have to have it, then and when I say hardcore, maybe that's not the right term, but maybe you've been like a above average fan, you know. When it comes back, you may realize, you know, I really didn't miss it that much. I mean, at least my consumption of it may drop a whole lot. I may still consume some of it, but, you know, I may not feel the need to go blow a bunch of money at the stadium, you know.
Right. And you also realize what you've taken for granted. Like, for a majority of my life, my dad and I have been really big Hawks fans. We watch a majority of games. Now, the last year or so, I know Trae Young is really good, but I didn't watch them as religiously because they weren't a competitive team. Like, you know, once they broke up the group that went to the Eastern Conference Finals with Horford and Korver and all those guys, I knew it was going to be lean times for the Hawks. I kind of got out of it a little bit. I kept track with them, and I saw the highlights, but I wasn't, hey, 7:30, Hawks, Pacers, I got to watch it because, hell, the Hawks were, you know, 20 games under 500, you know.
To me, the NBA game had dropped anyway, so definitely when a team became non-competitive, it was easy.
But now I miss it so much. Now, if it came back on today, I'd be watching it right away because, A, I'm thirsty for sports, and it's kind of a – and B, is kind of an absence makes the heart grow fonder thing. I miss watching, you know, having my basketball team on TV because – shoot, it's better than watching nothing, you know? I mean, it's something there.
Yeah.
And so you can only invest your energy in so many things, and I think baseball players have to be mindful of that because nowadays it's so easy for you to switch what your focus is. I mean, I could easily be like, okay, Braves, fine. You guys aren't playing? Well, I got my hockey team and my basketball team. They are playing, so I'm going to watch them. And I'm going to spend my money buying their merchandise, and I'm going to care about them, and I'm going to listen to their podcasts and read their blogs, and – you went from being first on my list of sports teams to like third, you know, and that can easily happen nowadays.
To put even more context on it, so they were losing, in my opinion, up until Corona, they were already losing two main types of people. Baseball was your kids. They were losing them to just cheaper sports. I mean, it ain't cheap to play baseball anymore. You know, and then obviously just following it, as we talked about before, with blackout rules and just all the accessibility. But also they were losing a little bit of guys like me. I mean, a little bit. Like, I mean, guys like me were starting to, I mean, we still follow, but we're, you know, sometimes we're checked out a little bit because of
look at JT. I mean, 20 years ago, JT would have, as a 30, if JT were 37 20 years ago, or however old you are, JT.
I mean, Jeff Donahue's age.
Yeah. Sorry, 34, 30 years ago, you would have been a baseball guy. I truly believe that. Like, you would have had your dogs, and you would have been into baseball because the Braves were on TV.
Yeah.
I don't even know if Braves crack your top three anymore. Like, maybe they do, but I know it's dogs and NFL. And NFL's way above baseball now for your average 37-year-old male.
There's way more competition. Yeah. Look, 20 years ago, 20 years ago, the Braves were up there because they were on. They were on TBS every night. I could watch them. There was no NFL Sunday ticket. So you were limited what you could take in the NFL. So, it was what I could view, which was Georgia football and the Braves. I was never that – I was
not only
that, follow Falcons, but never religious.
But not only that, it was filled with – it was a male sport, like not to get all cerebral and like, you know, they've taken the masculinity out of baseball, but they, I mean, they kind of have in some ways, you know, but 20 years ago, we're watching, you know, grown ass men getting pissed off and like guys bulldogging catchers. It was just a little bit different, you know,
it had a little UFC in it. I mean, it had a little touch of UFC, that vibe.
Well,
to
20
it,
years ago, if you said, all right, let's picture, you know, 1994, the players go on strike, and you said, you know, I'm done with baseball. What could you possibly do, like tangibly do, to make up for that? You could say, well, I'm going to become a fan of the Chicago Bulls. And you got them on TV kind of often, but okay, that just meant that if you saw them on Saturday, you'd watch the Bulls game, but that's kind of it. Nowadays, you could, like, by the next day, you could subscribe and get every game coming right to your TV. You can do whatever you want to do. I mean, you can be a fan of the Vancouver Canucks and making Georgia be just as in tune with the Vancouver Canucks as somebody up in Canada could. I mean, you're way more available to
baseball
than you did
even
now. You can be a fan of any team.
Yeah. And baseball even turned on its own value proposition. 30 years ago, baseball's value proposition was we are here every night for 3 hours.
Right.
And we're very happy that we're here every night for 3 hours. We're in your home. Your sportscasters are your friends.
Right.
You know, Skip Carey was like your uncle.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, that's the way it felt. Ernie Johnson was like your granddad, you know, telling you a story of a game going on. And it was every night. And you sat around, and even if you weren't, like, 100% tuned into the TV, it was 3 hours
it was there,
special of, like, the sound of your nightlife at that time.
It was your routine, yeah.
Right, but then baseball said we can't make that our value proposition. We have to be fast. We have to be young. We have to, and they thought that was why they were losing people, was because they had the wrong value proposition. So they said, now we want to be fast, cool, and safe, and we want to be superstars that are excellent at execution, mm-hmm. which there's nothing wrong with those things inherently, but they gave up, like Josh said, they gave up some of the rugged manliness, some of that identity that they'd always had as their value proposition. They gave up this whole, we're the rough, tough bad boys. You lost all the bad boys in baseball. You don't really have that anymore. And, I mean, heck, right now, if I were the Astros and I'm trying to brand the Astros, people would hate it, but I would have those boys own up. And I would, like, we'd brag about being the biggest cheaters to ever be. Like, we'd be hated by every team. But, like, if I was a PR director, that's exactly what I'd be. I'd be like, guys, we're going to be the dirtiest team to ever play this game.
The Raiders of baseball.
You know? Yeah. Like, we don't care. Yeah. We'll cheat. I would get a shirt that said, cheat, lie, steal, win. And, like, put it as my, like.
Yeah.
Embrace it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this. See, I never grew up a Falcons fan. Here's why. My dad's got four brothers. Okay, so there's five of them within 6.5 years because my grandparents were Catholic and they couldn't, you know, use condoms. So his oldest brother is a Raiders fan. Then there's my dad, who's a Falcons fan. And then his brother Drex is a Dolphins fan. And then you got Uncle Matt, who's a Cowboys fan. And then Uncle Boo, who's a Vikings fan. And I thought for years, I was like, that's really neat, because in the mid-90s, if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, you got to see like two games a year, and hopefully they made the playoffs, because then you'd get them on TV again. But it's really hard to do because, you know, back when they were growing up in the early 70s, you hopefully your team came on TV and you're like, ooh, I like the way that team looks. That's going to be my team. But in the mid-90s.
That was what, two Sunday games and a Monday night football?
Right.
You know,
right.
Like that was about all you got.
Right. And there was just a handful of teams, and they all kind of picked which ones they liked and they stuck with it. So like in the mid-90s, if my uncle wanted to watch more Minnesota Vikings football, he couldn't. He just had to hope they came on TV on Sunday, and that was the only chance he got to see them. Nowadays,
either that or on some AM radio channel.
Right. You couldn't go on the internet and get their, you know, streaming their radio or anything like that.
Yeah.
Nowadays, hell yeah, if you wanted to change your attention to your allegiance of a football team on the other side of the country, man, you can tune the Braves out in a heartbeat, and I'm just going to invest more emotional energy into my football team. Even if they're on the other side of the country, it doesn't matter because I can do that nowadays. And that wasn't true 25 years ago. Now it is.
Right.
Want to support the nation's leading replacement-level podcast? Put your money where your mouth is, fellow degenerates. And visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For only $5 a month, you'll get access to behind-the-scenes episodes and patron-exclusive podcasts. And you'll be supporting your favorite knuckleheads. Visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation.
Yeah.
I was going to save this for another episode, but I think it just makes sense to go ahead and talk about it now. JT, how much... how much has fantasy football, fantasy baseball, fantasy sports in general, combined with fantasy gambling, those two together... how much has that actually hurt sports? And what I mean by this is 30 years ago, there was no fantasy mm-hmm. baseball. There was no fantasy football. So you rooted for the Falcons or the Vikings or the Miami Dolphins.
And that was it, yeah.
That was your team. And you knew all the guys on that team. And you didn't know anybody else in the league that wasn't a superstar. You didn't care about anybody else in the league that wasn't a superstar. Now... 4 years ago, I would have told you I was a Falcons fan. But I've been playing fantasy football for 20 years now, almost. It's crazy to think that. But it's not far from it. Just about 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen it evolve. When I was a kid, I was a hardcore Falcons fan. I love the Falcons, you know. Now, I can take them or leave them. Mm-hmm. I'm not really a Falcons fan. I get a little more Falcons information because of where we live at, but only a little more.
Yeah.
It's a very small amount more. But like, I'm a fantasy fan, and I love the NFL.
The Red Zone channel is way more fun to watch that than just a single game.
But I don't have an NFL team anymore, per se. Like,
it's
I've
killed
given
allegiance.
That up.
It's killed allegiances. It's overall, it's made the sport a lot more popular. It's been great for the NFL as a whole. What it's really killed is team allegiance. It's like, that's my team, and I'm going to buy all their jerseys, and I'm going to have their hats. And Sunday, in front of the like on the commercials, where you see people on the couch, and they got the jerseys on, and they're ready to go. I think that's kind of been killed a lot, because you'll watch any game now. Like, you'll watch the you might watch your team at 1 o'clock, and then, but you're also watching the 4 o'clock game. You're watching the Sunday night game. You're watching the Monday game, which I love. I mean, I'm a fan of all that. But I think there are – people are more likely to be like Josh and switch teams like 3 times a year. Because they'll be like, oh, I like that
player. Hey, JT, like JT. JT, we don't hold that against him. No, everybody's allowed to play for whichever team they want to, catch, receive, whatever. Josh,
thanks,
is fine.
Thanks, Kenny. Wait, what?
You're welcome. You know,
play both sides.
We're an accepting podcast. What can I say?
Thanks, guys.
Look, but in the NFL, you know, JT, it's kind of like, what did Rob Lowe last year that wore the NFL hat to the
right
Super Bowl?
Who can wear?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Like, but that's almost like, you know. But I kind of felt like that's me. Like, you know what I'm saying?
There were more people,
I'm the guy I love the players. There are certain players I don't like, but as far – and there's a few teams that I'm still not a big fan of. Like, I love to watch the Cowboys lose still. You know, like, you know, I'm not a big Saints fan just because that's kind of held over. But I still like Saints players.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think Drew Brees is an awesome dude. You know,
there's
like,
no more regionality in sports. It used to be that because you were in Georgia – you could only get the Falcons, and you get the Falcons on the radio, and your local talk radio was talking Falcons, and that's just where you were. Nowadays, you can act whatever. You can live in Macon and be a fan of the 49ers and not skip a beat. You can get just as much info as somebody living out in California could. And it used to be not the case.
And you can even be a fan of, like, nuanced stuff. It's not just major teams. You can now be a fan of the East Carolina Pirates and, like, you
ECU,
know.
ECU, baby!
Right, and like, you can live in that world and be like, consume everything there's
David
ever
Garrard's
been about
man.
That, you know?
You can double dip. You can be like, my favorite college basketball team is Duke, but my favorite college football team is Alabama. Oh, those are the worst people in the world. But you can do that now. You can take these variety samples of everything.
Josh Brown.
It used to be like, if
that was a phase. That was a phase. That was a low blow. It was a phase, and you know it.
But
okay?
But it used to be, if you lived in Tennessee, you liked the Tennessee Vols. You like the Tennessee Titans. You like the Nashville Predators. You were just because that's
bro,
where you are,
y'all. I'm about to start wearing some Tennessee orange up in here.
You're gonna turn your camera off if you do. I'm just saying.
I love Tennessee so much right now because living in Boone with all these blue idiots, you know, like, I had to go to Mountain City for 2 months just to have lunch and get a haircut.
That's the way most people feel that have ever been to North Carolina around all those blue idiots. Referencing like UNC and Duke. But let me ask you fellas this.
I love the Tennessee Volunteers.
JT, you brought this point up. Like, you brought this point up, but I want to play counterpoint here, because to me, I've noticed something about this quarantine. There's a part of me that really likes sports under quarantine. And let me explain what I mean by that. Guys, I haven't enjoyed sports stuff this much in forever. We're going to talk about it on a different episode this week, but the match with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. I ate it up. I ate it up. The Michael Jordan documentary, fantastic. You know why I think a lot of it was so fantastic? Because I wasn't hearing anything about sports, and there wasn't 4,000 other sports options on TV during the week, like, drowning me in sports information. So, like, when I got that game of the week,
overload.
I got that golf match of the week, or that game of the week, or that reliving Michael Jordan's game of the week, it was super cool. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's simplified.
It. Yeah. It was like going back in time to the 80s, where you were getting your one game a week on TV. Your Monday Night Football, had that kind of vibe to it, and I'm kind of like, you know, I kind of hope sports doesn't come back where there's 6,000 things on every night that I have to keep up with.
I like the convenience of being able to see whatever teams you want to see play. I mean, that's really, really cool. But yeah, you're right. There's not this overload of three sports going on at the same time, and because I can't, like, not having any sports, I want to watch whatever right now. Where it's college basketball, hockey, NBA, you name it. If whatever league decides to come back first, I'm going to watch the hell out of it. Because it took a lot for granted when there's like five seasons going on at the same time. It's hard to do. I haven't watched SportsCenter since SportsCenter was good like years and years and years ago. When you needed to watch SportsCenter. But if there was just, say just the NBA came back, I'd be interested in watching the Hawks, but also checking the scores out. Give me the NBA playoffs. NHL came out with their plan today to have a 2014 playoff set in two different hubs, two different arenas. Give me that. Anything. Any sort of competitive.
Give me that every year, NBA, for the record. Hey, also, NBA, do that every year. That
would be a whole lot better. Oh, if the NBA playoffs came out right now, I'd be watching every game. What are you doing tonight? Well, I got, Pacers and Raptors game one, and then I'm watching this, and then I'm watching that. I'd watch it all.
And I think this brings us full circle back to baseball. Guys, it's not as much about what baseball could lose because of a strike, even though they definitely could lose a lot. Mm-hmm. It's what they're missing out on by not being there now. I mean, the greatness of a foursome. Think about this. We loved a stupid foursome between Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady, where two of the golfers are barely better than the people on this podcast. Okay, maybe a little bit, but not significantly better. I mean, they're amateur golfers. We thought that was awesome. We watched a documentary about a basketball team from 15, 20 years ago and thought it was awesome. Like, what is wrong with us that we thought that was awesome? It was, don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, like, because we're so sports starved, this stuff is amazing when we get it. And yet baseball can't figure players. And this is the part I don't get. Like, owners don't have to make the sport bigger. They made $10 billion last year. Players, the bigger the sport gets, the more power they have, in my opinion. Like, I truly believe that. And I don't think they recognize that. Like, if players figured out how to be the superhero right now to the common man, oh, God, they could write blank checks to themselves next CBA. I truly believe that because they would make the sport so popular and people would be so wrapped up in it that they would gain back everything they've lost since the 90s, in my opinion. I think it would be the biggest baseball's ever been, but they can't figure out how to do that. And maybe that some of that's on the owners, but I think a lot of it's also on the players and the players not knowing how to do leadership. Guys, one thing, I want to jump into this. What would you do if you were union president? If you're the guy leading the charge for the players, what would you do to win? And I don't know if that's the right term, but what would you offer to owners right now to negotiate this out?
I'd be fired in a heartbeat as union president because I'd be like, we got to get back to playing as soon as possible. There's such an advantage to being the first sports league to be back on people's TV sets, whether it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks. That's such a huge advantage from a captive fan base that's starved for sports. We got to do whatever we got to do to get to playing. And, of course, that would get me booted out quickly because I'm not caring about money. I'm not caring about safety or anything else. I'm looking at it from the long-term viability of baseball. You've got to capitalize on this. Baseball is losing viewers hand over fist to other sports. They're losing the younger audience. Well, now you've got kids that are out of school, and you've got an open opportunity here to kind of cement yourself as a premier, excitable sporting venture and make it fun, make it cool to be a baseball fan again. I read an article the other day about how during this lockdown, for some reason, baseball card collecting has blown up and gone through the roof. And that's so awesome because that's how I learned about baseball players as a kid. And the more you learn about baseball players as a kid, the more you want to know about them. And the more you want to see them, the more you want to watch them. And that's how you captivate the imagination of a group that's going to be your customer for the next 40 to 50 years. And baseball has an opportunity to do that. And my concern is that if they're the third in line behind hockey and behind basketball, they're going to lose out on any sort of ability to capitalize on that, because now they're going to be lost back lost to the shuffle again, competing with playoff basketball and playoff hockey. Oh, and some regular season kind of meaningless baseball.
What about you, Josh? What would you do?
I can't give you a serious answer on this. but I would probably hold a live press conference, and I would invite Keith Law and Buster Olney and all my friends from MLB Network to be there. And I would take the stage, and I would have a Biden 2020 pin on my sports jacket. And I would tell everybody that we need to get baseball back because President Trump wants to ruin baseball. He wants to ruin sports as we know it. He hates baseball. And we need to get back. And then I would read some data from the CDC and reveal to everyone that the death rate of COVID-19 is about 0.2%. Okay. And then I would play a live video. I would have screens on both sides, and then I would tell my assistant lady to press the button, and she'd show a live video of the current WHO website, in which it says that you don't have to wear a face mask in public. And I would say, "Let's play ball, you pussies. Let's go." And then I'd be fired.
You know, you say that tongue in cheek, but I actually think you're on to a little bit of something there with what they should do.
Up there with some balls and show some fucking data and be like, "Let's go. If you don't want to play, sign this thing." Like JT said, I think a couple weeks ago, just sign this thing, then don't play. Sean Doolittle.
I don't even think you have to roll over. I don't think you even have to roll over that much. Like, as a speech communications major, that's what I did in college, was like we talked about, like, these are speech comm people that should be leading the charge on most of this, at least part of it. So here's what my plan would be, fellas. If I were Marvin Miller and a really good exec for the players union, what I would tell the owners is I would say, "Okay, owners, we'll take not a dime less than what we've already agreed on, but here's what we will do. 50% of our salaries all we'll take. The other 50%, you're going to put into a COVID-19 relief fund that builds inner city baseball programs all across America, and that's going to create jobs to help people in an economic downturn as well. On top of that, we're also going to donate a large portion of that 50% to buying PPE for hospitals all around the country to put in frontline places, right?" Mm-hmm. And then whatever's remaining of that, we're going to do this. We're going to pay minor league players their dividend for what they would have made for playing the entire year. Oh, and also, owners, get this. We are adding all the minor league players into a separate division, but it will be managed by us, of the Major League Baseball Players Union, so that they will now be represented by us. These are our stipulations. Owners would have no option but to agree to it, because now you're giving owners money to fans, like directly to fans, is a large portion of what you're doing. Secondly, you're taking away the leverage the owners would have in the next set of negotiations by adding in the minor league players and saying, "We're going to stick up for you minor league players because you are the future MLB players. And because of that, we're gonna represent you, and we're not going to throw you under the bus to get better cooks in the clubhouse," mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I would make those moves right there. And look, it would mean less money for players today. Today, players would not get as much money. But I truly believe owners wouldn't have an option but to say, at least meet halfway. I mean, at the very least, they would have to agree to part of that. I don't think they could say no, you know, because then they look just terrible if they don't. And then the big win in this is then when you get ready to go into the next CBA discussions, you have like a giant mall that you're walking into
of support from fans, because then when you're on the field, fans are like, yes, baseball players did it. They made it come back. They made this thing work. We watched baseball when there was no other sport on. I love these guys. And so then when you go into your next CBA negotiations, you've already won the hard part. You've won the PR battle. You've already set to win. And owners literally then have to basically look at you and say, okay, how much do you want? Because you now own the future prospect and the current talent in your union, and you have control. I mean, and look, I don't know all the details. There's probably reasons some of that couldn't happen exactly the way I said it, but I still think you could do something like that. And just like you said, Josh, run the data, show some facts, build a little PR campaign of we're back and we can be we're going to set an example, and we're here, we're playing for relief. You know, like our whole season as players is dedicated to relief for people struggling with COVID-19. You know, and so then the owners, if they reject that, the owners are literally have to come out and say, no, we're not in favor of helping people with COVID-19. Like, they literally would have to say that out of their mouth. You know, I don't understand why this is that hard. I don't understand why players can't win the day. And then the other thing I would do is I would tell them all to shut their freaking mouth and only speak through a PR spokesman. Like Blake Snell, I would fine the heck out of him as a players union member for opening his dang mouth and creating a problem, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't understand why failure, I don't understand why, one, they put up with incompetency at the head of the union, and two, I don't understand how you can be that incompetent at the head of the union, period.
Yeah, I mean, same.
Marvin Miller's rolling in his grave.
Right. He was a savage, you know?
Total.
Are you drinking out of a Tennessee coffee mug?
Yes.
Oh, that's sweet.
It came from, it's a coffee company. Oh, sorry. Camera's not right.
Oh, cool. Oh, I love it. Yeah, Tony Clark is an idiot, man. And I think...
Yeah.
I think anybody would agree on that, for the most part. He's not a smart guy. Yeah. So to have him represent,
he's at least not
a
vicious guy. You know, Matt, I don't know how smart he is. I don't know much about him.
I think he's an idiot.
He's not vicious. You know, he's not a lawyer type. You know, like, he's not somebody that's going to grab the owners by the balls and really do, you know, fight back in a way where you win. Because this isn't – I think one of the things the players don't seem to understand is this is not a war – between them and the owners. Like, that's the way they frame it. But the war is not between them and the owners directly. The war is over public perception of them and the owners.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot win, and we've said this time and time again, you cannot win when 30% of the population is unemployed by saying, I've got to get mine. Like, we don't, the people unemployed don't identify with that when you're being offered hundreds of thousands of dollars to play a game. Like, we know that. So you have to reframe the battlefield in a way that you could actually win. And players union is just incapable of it. I don't know. It's a mind head scratcher for me.
I think that we're on the verge of watching these guys go on strike during a pandemic.
Yeah, I think so too.
All the joking aside, because I'm going to be busting out a lot of jokes about this, but good Lord, can you imagine? Like JT said,
yeah.
to have the opportunity to be the only game on TV, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, what a great – there's NASCAR, right? But, I mean, there's no other – I mean, they could kill it right now. They could get new fans within a month.
And I blame the owners for that, too. The owners are guilty, too, if they can't figure this out. Don't get me wrong. I'm not – That's only true, blaming yeah. the players.
Let me tell you, hockey came out with their plan today, and if MLB's not careful, holy cow, hockey's plan seems awesome. And if they go on strike or they keep, you know, just punting back and forth to each other with counter proposal this, counter that, and they just keep wasting time, they're going to be behind the eight ball so quick. And
what's hockey's deal?
No one's going to care. So the plan for hockey is 24-team playoff format, which extends it for the teams that were on the bubble with, you know, the 3 weeks left of the regular season could have possibly made the playoffs. So the top four teams in each division, each conference, get a bye, and the eight teams then play the first round of the playoffs. While the eight teams are playing, the top four teams are playing a round robin to set up seeding for the second round of the playoffs. So that way they're getting to play some games too to break out some of the rust, and they're essentially seeding for the second round. So you've got 24 teams that are going to be vying for the Stanley Cup, and it's going to be from there. There's no rest of the regular season. It starts as soon as they start back. It's playoff hockey, and that's going to be fun because they're all going to be fighting for it right from the get-go. Playoff hockey is fun anyway because they care a lot. And, you know, you grew up in some backwoods town in Canada, winning a Stanley Cup is, like, huge. I mean, I don't want to see a scenario where baseball is still coming up with counter proposals and plans. Meanwhile, hockey's like, all right, we're playing. And you got competitive hockey on, and you're like,
yeah.
Hey, you know what? I've never been a hockey fan before, but you know how many casual sports fans you're going to grab just by being the only sport on? Hey, I've never really paid hockey much attention, but I'm going to check it out now. And those fans are going to find new teams, and those fans might become hockey fans, and those fans might be spending their dollars and their energy elsewhere that used to be baseball fans because now something else is there to grab their attention. And, you know, no one wants to hear counter proposals. No one wants to hear that what the union says about this. No one cares anymore. No one wants to hear that kind of stuff. I'm so done with listening to podcasts talking about the new proposal or when we might get back. If I hear somebody else ask when we might get back to playing, I'm going to scream. No one cares anymore. Now it's time for coming out with your plans. Other leagues are showing their hand and saying, here's what we've got. Here's our plan to come back, and we want to put on a product for our fans. And if you're not concerned about putting on a product for your fans, I don't care. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. I'm all for being safe, but if you're not coming to the table at this point with something to give your fans, I don't care. You know, because at a certain point, the fans are what, you know, why these guys are getting paid. If Blake Snell enjoys getting his, well, the reason he gets his is because the fans of baseball, because people care.
Yeah. To wrap up on this, I think this is the only way, like if players could play this up, they might could pull it off. I don't know. But, like, today, minor league players got an email from the Oakland A's organization that said, hey, we're not paying you anymore after next week. You're not being paid a dime for not playing the game. And, you know, people are going to be really upset about that because they're going to say that the owners have the money to pay. If you know anything about Oakland, you know that that's probably not true. But even if they did, here's the problem. MLB players will gripe and complain about this, yet they're the ones threw all the minor leaguers under the bus when they wanted other amenities added into the last CBA. They basically said, screw you, minor leaguers. You're not a major league player. We got to get ours. We don't care what happens to you.
Oh, so really? Like, I didn't know that.
So, like, because MLB Players Union continues to throw minor league baseball under the bus, it makes all their arguments being upset about it null and void because they're the ones threw them under the bus to begin with. If they had just brought minor league players into even some sort of partial role to be part of the MLB union, they would have ground to stand on. But instead, they don't. And I think it's gonna. I don't think it's gonna play out the way they want it to. We'll see. But I think it's gonna be a rough end. I don't know. But JT, you're right, man. I think hockey and NBA and those things. We know the one thing you know is football's coming. They've already said NCAA football is going to play this fall. Now, every school may not play, but SEC is going to play. I guarantee you that. They've already said players can start – practice can resume on almost every campus now, I think, by like June the 6th or something like that, something crazy early. I know a lot of schools are already prepping for it. So the countdown is on. If August gets here and baseball's not being played, it's over. They've lost it. It's over because they're not catching back up. It's going to be useless.
Right. So. And you know, I mean, and if they get playoff hockey on TV nationwide and it's the only sport around, you know how many kids in lower Alabama are suddenly going to become fans of Nikita Kucherov and other people they'd never heard of a month ago? I mean, when you're sports starving, this may be the birth of somebody. Hey, I was never a fan until it was the only sport available, and then I started watching it, which I'd never thought about watching before because I had so much competition.
They're going to become the Alabama Lightning.
And you know what? Some kid from Kingsport, Tennessee can become a Calgary Flames fan just like that in this day and age. You know, they don't have to invest their energy in the Atlanta Braves. And a kid from New York doesn't have to be a Mets fan. He could be a fan of whatever he wants to be. And it's – you have to make yourself available. These people have so many avenues to take in sports. And if you're not making your product available and you're not giving your all to try and put a product on the field for fans, fans are going to look elsewhere, and it's so easy to do now. So I don't know.
I agree with you, man. And, you know, it never – it never works out for the players when they try to fight this way. When you get the wrong target, it's a matter of time before you lose. Hey, guys, that's going to do it for today's Knock Home Nation podcast show. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a member of the nation. Visit patreon.com. That's patreon.com/KnockaHomaNation. Shout out to our latest patron, Matthew Barnes, full-on Nakahoma royalty member. So, Matthew, thanks for joining and shouting out. Yeah.
Who's this?
Yeah. You're going hardcore.
Who's Matthew Barnes?
Yeah, he went hardcore into the nation. He's now a member of the royalty. So, shout out to all of our royalty members, Ashlyn, Benjamin, Brady, Brandon, Brian, Corey. God, a lot of Brians and B words. Corey, David, Gregory, Jason, Joey, John, Jordan, Marlon.
A lot of B words.
Matthew, Rick, and Robert. Thanks for being patrons.
Oh, I've already given a shout out to Matthew, Rick, and Robert. That's right. He became a patron a few weeks
You did.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah. This is just our first chance to shout him out. So, yeah, we're getting that
done.
He's
a Buckeyes fan, apparently.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Matthew.
Do we charge extra for Buckeyes fans?
We don't. But should we? You know, should we? They're kind of urban. Meyer. I don't know. Anyway, hey, if you want some cool Knockahoma Nation swag, we dropped a awesome set of new shirts. We've got Knockahoma Trolling Company shirts. We've got Knockahoma the Butchery Slaughterhouse shirt. That I love that one. JT, we got one that you liked. It was Knockahoma Pointers. Catching the Bird. I know no one's ever heard of Catching the Bird. I can't believe you guys have never heard of Catching the Bird.
I love you, but like nobody says that. Nobody says Catching the Bird.
I can't believe nobody's actually heard that. Yeah, so people do say that. I didn't make it up. I can tell you that.
I believe you. I believe you that you've heard people say that. I'm just saying like.
So you're like driving down interstate.
No one says
that. And you see a girl next to you and she's singing really loud.
Yeah, I understand.
Along with the radio.
I understand what it means
and
now.
You catch her eye. Yeah, I'm explaining it so listeners know. And you catch her and you're like, wait a sing, girl. And you're kind of laughing at her and she shoots you a bird. That's called, you caught the bird, right? Like that's catching a bird.
Right.
You know?
No one says that.
People do say it. I'm just saying.
She gave me the finger.
Right.
This is catching a bird.
Yeah, she flipped me off. Yeah. She gave me the finger.
Yeah. She told me I'm number one.
Yeah.
Like Jack McDowell back in the day.
You fellas are number one in my heart. That's all I know.
Number 86.
We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for hanging out, Knockahoma Nation. Love you guys.
Nikita Kucherov, soon to be the most famous athlete in the world.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/KnockahomaNation. For new episodes and content, visit KnockahomaNation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at KnockahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.